Incoming transmission.
Hi, everybody. This is Ed Pogue, My Figure Universe. And this week on Boosting the Signal, my guest is Mandeep Barra. And I pronounced that correctly, right, sir?
Yeah.
That's good. Mandeep is a man that I have been chatting with now for many years on socials and chatting and stuff about various subjects. But we have never actually met in person or even virtually, so this is a first for me. It's wonderful to meet you, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now,
Like I was telling you earlier, I've never done anything like this before, so I'm hoping you'll maybe start with questions and I can go from there. That's,
sure, yeah, I can do that.
yeah.
One of the first things I want to ask you about is, and I'm going to go right into it. I think the first thing that ever brought you and I together in chatting was V. And,
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yeah.
and I would love to know, like, typically I'll ask people, what brought you into Star Trek, but what brought you to V?
So I was a child when that came on here in the UK, obviously. And I remember it was a big event here because it was being screened opposite the Olympics. So we got it like a year later than America.
Okay.
So we actually got the original miniseries and V, the Final Battle together.
Well, that's
And
kind of nice.
they were screened consecutively over 5 nights over the week when the Olympics was being screened on the other channel. So it actually got more ratings than the Olympics. So
Wow.
yeah, so I was obsessed with it from the get-go. I remember I had taped every single episode on VHS. And I watched them over and over, even the hourly episodes that followed the following year.
Yeah.
And so I watched them so much that I could recite the dialogue. I still know some of the dialogue today. So.
I'm right there with you. We didn't have a VCR in 83. It started here in 83. I was six, and we didn't have a
Okay.
VCR yet, but I had a tape recorder. So I would put a blank tape in, and I would have the tape recorder next to it, and I think I'd get like 30 minutes on each side of the tape that I could record
Okay.
audio. So at night I would play them back and listen to it like a almost like an audio drama,
All right, okay.
and that's how I would memorize things and stuff. And I did that for the original, the Final Battle, and I didn't do it for the series, but my grandmother did hook me up with those eventually. Did you ever, was there a character that stood out to you for that series? Somebody that.
Diana.
Really?
It was right from the eating the guinea pig thing. I was
Yeah.
like, oh my God. And then obviously she was the chief science officer initially, wasn't she, before she was the commander. And
Yes.
I always had an interest in science. In fact, V is the reason I'm doing my job right now.
Now, would you like to tell everybody what your job is?
So I'm a geneticist. V is the reason I got into genetics, actually. There was a lot of talk in the show about recombinant DNA and that sort of stuff, and it got me interested in the facts about genetics. So when I was picking something to do to study at university, I went for genetics, and I'd sort of decided that in my early teens because of a V, really.
That is amazing. And ironically, in the world of V, you would have been the enemy, you know, for them. They would have hunted
That.
you down, sir.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, they would have put me away.
Well, that's not a really good way of looking at the show, but yeah, no, I loved V, and I love that. And I know that you have an immense love for Supernatural as well,
Yeah.
and which is why it surprised me when you said that you've never done a podcast or anything like this before. I figure with your love of Supernatural, someone surely out there has invited you to be on a Supernatural podcast. I mean, you have,
Yeah.
I don't think it goes without saying that you have probably met 98% of the cast.
Yeah, I have. I've been doing Supernatural conventions for since 2011, so a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm doing another one next year as well. So it's become more about meeting my friends there now, than just meeting the actors, which is still fun. But because I've met them so many times, they've sort of know me now, which is very strange.
Well, I've seen the videos. Like sometimes they're really excited to see you, and they know you by name, and
Yeah, those are
they'll even
the Spartacus cast. Yeah, they definitely know me by
that
name.
that we
Yeah.
oh yeah we oh I remember that they actually sought you out. I remember the one video you shared where they were like, "Where is he? Where's Mandy?" And I was like,
Yeah, I couldn't go to that one, and then some friends of mine that I knew who were going, surprised me by sending me a video that they'd made, and they were like, "Why aren't you here? Where are you?" I was very surprised by that. It was
that's
nice to
wonderful.
hear.
It's wonderful to be missed, sometimes it lets you know that your presence is important to those around you.
Absolutely,
And
yeah.
keeping with the topic of supernatural and people that you have met, has there been a be it cast member and or guest star on Supernatural that you have yet to interact with or meet that you would love to?
Several, yeah, actually. So Chad Lindberg, who played Ash, I've never met him, but he is coming to the next one. So fingers crossed he doesn't cancel, and I will meet him eventually. There are a few. I've not met Emily Swallow as either, who played Amara. Yeah, so there are a few, but for the most part, I've met all of them. Yeah.
I know the name Emily Swallow outside of that. Is she?
She was in The Mandalorian as well.
Okay. I have a
So she's
friend that has
difficult
met
to,
her.
yeah. So she was supposed to be at a convention that I was going to in 2019, and she unfortunately had to cancel. But then after being in The Mandalorian, she's a lot more expensive, a lot more difficult to get at supernatural conventions now.
Her stock went up.
I wish I had met her then before The Mandalorian. But once you're in the Star Wars, yeah, sort of franchise, I think you're price goes up quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I definitely hope you get a chance to meet her.
Yeah.
I know it's a tertiary character that was on one episode, but I know like Spencer Garrett had been in an episode of Supernatural,
Yes.
and I heard recently that he had just started doing conventions. So like
Right.
doing so he had never realized that, that was a thing, so maybe you'll get a chance with him one day too.
It is interesting because I have met people who have been on just one episode of Supernatural. They've or one or two even, but they come to the conventions. So I've met some very random people at these conventions,
Well,
like
that's great.
Christian Kane. I mean, I know him from Angel and obviously Leverage, which are both shows I enjoyed as well. But I met him at a Supernatural convention, and he only did one episode in the final season. So.
That was a good episode, though, too.
Yeah, it
Did
was a
you,
good episode.
are you watching Leverage Redemption? Have you checked that out or
I've
that?
just I've started it, so I'm on season one only, but yes, I am watching it.
Yeah, you're in for some good stuff. Unfortunately, I don't know. Did you get a chance to watch Countdown yet?
I
The
did, yes, I watched it, and very disappointed by the news. I saw that today, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday afternoon, and I had forgotten to tell my wife, and we got home, and I was like, I saw his announcement. I was like, I forgot to tell you about this, and I loved it. I really did. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. It was a different kind of writing structure, so it's a shame to see it go. But in some ways, I think like how would it have not to get on a downer note, but with Eric Dane's prognosis of what he's going through with ALS, I was worried about how that would have affected season two in the interim, anyways.
I mean, the season one just ended like in the middle of a storyline, so it
Yeah.
wasn't even a cliffhanger. It just stopped in the middle, and I was like, "We need more," but well, never mind.
Yeah.
We'll still get to see Jensen Ackles on Vought Rising now, so that's coming up.
I didn't know what that was going to be called. I was when I was talking about it yesterday, I referred to it as the Soldier Boy show. That's all I know is like I know his character. I'm like, it's like I know he's doing Soldier Boy, but We
I
have
think it's
yet.
called Vault Rising. Yeah,
Vault
Vault Rising.
Rising. It's in the
Yeah.
past, right?
Yeah, so it's the beginnings of Vault.
Okay.
The so
And
I don't.
I know you're constantly disappointed in me because I haven't started watching The Boys yet, but don't worry, it's gonna happen. I promise. I promise. It will happen before their final season. I know Gen
It's an
Z.
acquired taste.
Well,
I don't think it's for everyone.
the ironic part is I bought season one. When season one first came out, I bought it because I was like, oh, I wanted
Yeah.
to watch it, and it just kind of got shelved and it didn't get watched, and I still haven't even opened it. I mean, that's,
Okay.
yeah, it's pretty bad, but we didn't have, it's on Prime, right? Yeah, we didn't have Prime at the
Yeah.
time, so like I was like, I'll buy the things I want to see, and we end up getting Prime. And like I was discussing with someone last week, we had just received Prime, and now I'm catching up on all the amazing things that we were
Yeah,
missing. I'm
there's
thinking
lots to
Apple,
catch up on.
there is Apple TV Plus is next. Speaking of what's next, I also have recently, like within the last year, learned of your affinity for the Hallmark films. And I gotta tell you, first of all, I had no idea how large of a fan base that the films, the movies, the network itself have, and the actors. You
Neither
really
did
opened.
I thought I was the only one.
See, well, you
It's
opened
like,
my eyes to knowing that.
yeah.
And I have to say, how did that start? I mean, like, is this a long
So,
time thing?
yeah, so it was about sort of 2015, 2016-ish, I think I started watching them. We don't have Hallmark here. We don't have the Hallmark channel here in the UK. But we have channels that show these movies, so you kind of have to really look to find them. And around Christmas, they really sort of ramp up. You see a lot more of them. And I noticed that a lot of the people that I'd met at conventions were like leading parts in these movies. So a lot of them, because they're shot in Canada, and a lot of the sci-fi shows I watch are shot in Canada, they had all guest starred on shows that I'd watch. So a lot of Supernatural stars, a lot of Buffy, Angel, Buffy, a lot of Firefly. I mean, I think the first one I saw had Jewel State in it. So I was following the actors into what they were doing. I saw the ladies from Spartacus, Katrina Law, Viva Bianca, Ellen Holman had all done Hallmark movies, and so I was watching it for them. And then I had a very unexpected effect on me because when I watch something, I don't watch it passively. I get very involved in what I'm watching. I'm very immersed in it. And if things are tense all the time and stuff, I get tense as well. These are very cathartic, these movies, because you know everything's going to work out in the end. Everything, they're very feel good. And so there was this unexpected sort of byproduct from following these actors into these shows by. They made me feel good, these movies. And so I continued to watch them. And now I'm just full blown into them now. And like, now I'm meeting, I went to Christmas Con last year and met Hallmark actors, not just for the sci-fi stuff they're doing, but for Hallmark itself.
Wonderful. Yeah, there was I appreciated seeing all the pictures and stuff that you had shared. The Jewel State movie, which one was it by any chance?
Oh, I can't remember now. They've all done several, like, so I can't remember. They've all got very similar names as well, so it's very difficult to
I know there was
pick
one
them
about a
out.
boat. There was one about a boat that we watched,
Probably,
and
yeah.
we really loved it, and it became a regular Christmas film. Like,
Yeah.
it's not too often, but Christmas films, you need a new one, and they hit a good rotation.
Yeah. I also
And
like that Hallmark have become very diverse in the last 4 or 5 years as well. Like, I mean, I never thought I'd see a Hallmark movie with an Indian guy as the lead. I mean, that kind of representation I never saw growing up. Like, I just kind of accepted that I wasn't going to see anyone like me on screen. But it did eventually happen. So it's interesting. And I think Hallmark are going in the right direction. They have They've got LGBT stories as well, and they've got different ethnicities in the leads as well. So it's really grown in the last few years, I think.
No, that's good. I know that there was a bit of a exodus of actors from their line of that didn't believe in whatever you want to say. And I kind of thought, all right, well, that's good to know. It's like, but
They started up another channel which is focusing on traditional family values, as they call
Yeah,
it.
well, that's good luck to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I and when you talk about other actors from different things, like
Yeah.
Stargate, that would be a really good one too. Like,
Yes.
there's so many Stargate actors have popped up in Hallmark films over the
Yeah.
years.
And on Supernatural as well. So.
Yeah, well, it's all shot in Canada. Have you now, speaking of Hallmark films, and it's a kind of a huge jump here. But in
Yeah.
the same vein, have you checked out or had the ability to see Murder in a Small Town?
I've not heard of that one. I
Really? Okay,
no.
it has Kristen Kreuk from Smallville
Okay, yeah.
and Rossif Sutherland. It's Kiefer Sutherland's stepbrother,
Okay.
or half brother. Sorry, half brother. And it's based off of it's based off of books about the main characters, the sheriff and his girlfriend, and solving crimes. But it's called Murder in a Small Town. It is, for all intents and purposes, Hallmark like murder mysteries in a small 1 hour like tidbit.
Yeah.
Each one, like, so far this season, two episodes have been shot by or directed by oh goodness, I just was that Amanda Peet had directed too.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and then the actors are all, it's all Canadian based. Everyone is Canadian based.
Okay.
But it's
I'd,
something to
I
check
mean,
out.
it, we have to sort of rely on it. Someone buying it here in the UK to actually screen it here, so we don't have any control over that. So it's difficult to watch everything because not everything comes over here. I
Have
mean,
you
we had
looked
to wait a
into
long time for things, or we wait a long time for them to come here.
a VPN?
That's how I watch Supernatural because it was too late here. And I was going to conventions, so there'd be spoilers and stuff. I needed to keep up to date,
Yeah.
so I watched Supernatural through a VPN.
Well, the one thing, if they said, "Oh, did you see that Dean died?" You'd be like, "Which time?" Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, it's not a spoiler, that's just gonna happen, I love that. I do. So tell me, what, aside from that, what's something else that sparks your interest? That be something that I don't know about. I'm curious.
Well, I don't know. I think you know about all the stuff I enjoy. I mean, I'm a bit of a geek about my job as well. So I kind of just live in this geekdom bubble, really.
Well,
So,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, other than that, I am a big movie watcher. I'm a big TV show watcher, and conventions are I started doing conventions because I've always wanted to do them, but I never had the confidence or the sort of I never had the confidence to just go for one of them. And so I had a bit of a health issue back in 2010, and after that I sort of thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so I booked my first convention, which happened to be a Supernatural one, and that was in May of 2011. And I went there, and I basically, so most of my life, I'd always felt like I was on the outside looking in. I'd always felt like I didn't really fit anywhere or belong anywhere. And I went to this convention, and although it was mainly, most of the attendees were essentially white women, I never felt like I belonged anywhere as much. That was, it was really quite instant and very addictive, so I just kept going. I don't look like the average convention goer here in the UK, and so that could be why a lot of the actors remember me, because I look the way I do. I have my name is unusual, and so they tend to remember me. And so when they meet me again, they're more likely to remember me than all the hundreds of others that all look the same kind of thing.
That's a
So
really good point. I never would have thought about being so many women there. But
yeah, I was surprised at that all the conventions I've been to, they're predominantly women, are the attendees.
so when you think about that episode of Supernatural when Chuck was writing the books and everybody was loving on the books, and it was usually women. And of course there was the fanfic. Do you think that was a meta reference to that?
Possibly, yes. Yeah, I think so. It was they brought out a lot of things in that episode which I had seen in the conventions actually, which was quite funny.
Yeah.
Becky being a very extreme version of the fandom. But it does happen.
I've told my wife I want to get her to watch the series. She's never seen it, with the exception of, like in background episodes or whatever. She did watch all of the Winchesters with me, which was should have gotten more. I think it was really good. But surprisingly, like we don't have Netflix. I refuse to give Netflix my money. So we started buying up
It's not on
box sets.
Netflix here in the UK.
Oh yeah.
Supernatural's on Prime here,
Oh, see, that would be
and
so much better.
it goes comes and goes as well. It's not like consistently on any kind of streaming service.
Yeah, we bought the box sets. We bought five. We have five of them so far. And then I have season eight that I bought randomly on Blu-ray one time.
Yeah, I have all of
So,
them.
oh yeah, I see. I come over to your house and watch them. But we're gonna get through them except for Bugs. We're not gonna watch Bugs. I'm skipping Bugs. Just do her a favor. I don't want her to have to
There are
live
some
through that.
funny lines in Bugs, though. It's
Yeah,
quite
but.
funny to watch.
We'll toss a coin. I don't want her to have nightmares and smack me in the middle of the night because of it. So, we'll see what happens.
Is she not a fan of Bugs then?
No, not at
No.
all.
Okay.
No.
Well, it is creepy, but it's a very funny episode, I think.
Well, what was it? We watched something the other day, and they brought up the remember the first episode. The lady at the side of the road picking up the she was
Love that episode, yeah.
someone referenced it in something we were watching the other day, and I was like, hey, that's the first episode of Supernatural. Like, that's the only reference I had to that, and I was like, oh, that's fine
Yeah,
with
that's
that.
the woman in white episode, you mean?
yep
The
yep
pilot. That's the pilot, yeah.
good episode though.
And that actress who played her is kind of big now. Sarah Shahi is in lots of things now. Been in lots of things since then as well.
Well, there's been so many people. It's a good jumping off point for so many actors. I do want to ask you, when you go to the conventions and you meet the actors, okay, you get hugs from everybody. I'm talking, you could do an entire mural of Mandeep
Just my
hugs.
hugs.
And is it their idea, your idea? How does that work?
It's usually my idea.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a hugger,
That's
and
funny.
I've become known for it at the conventions as well. With my friends, all was like, "Oh, Mandeep's gonna get a hug," and but you kind of have to judge it. I never go first in the line. I
Okay.
always hang back a little bit. And then you can get a sense of whether they'll be up for a hug or not. I don't ask everyone for a hug because I find it's harder to ask for the female actors for a hug because you're never sure of whether they, want to have. But some of them would just grab you anyway. Like, Kim Rhodes, who plays the Sheriff Mills in, she the first time I met her, I didn't even have to ask. She just grabbed me and gave me a kiss on the cheek, and it was like,
No.
okay. So every time she sees me, she hugs me. So there are certain I've gotten good at sort of judging who's up for a hug and who isn't. You just ask for a hug and they'll give it. David Hayden Jones, who plays Ketch, he likes to hug people. So
Yeah.
and he'll hug you tight. Jared
But
Padalecki hug you very, very tightly. Jensen hugs too. They all do. Yeah.
that's great. I still wish that we would have gotten a Sheriff Jody series, something to expand out.
Yeah, that I was really looking forward to that. It seemed like it
Yeah.
was actually going to happen, and then just nothing, which
Yeah.
was a real shame because I think that would have been great.
She deserved it.
Yeah, she's a great character. She's a great actress, and she's
Indeed.
so funny in real life as well. She's such a laugh.
I can honestly say, I mean, even if you think like Suite Life, everything she's ever done has been good. You know, she was great as the mom on
See,
Suite Life.
I'd never seen Suite Life. Like, my niece was really into Suite Life, and when she watched Supernatural, because I got all my nieces and nephews into it at probably too young an age than it should have, but they're the ones that told me that she was Zach and Cody's mom. And so, like the first time I met her, I said, "My niece is really excited. I mean, you know, that's Zach and Cody's mom." And she was like, "Oh," and then she gave me a hug again. So.
Yeah, I started watching it because my son liked it, and he was like, you know, I think he was 5, 6 years old, and he wanted to watch it. He wanted to be Zach and Cody, and or, you know, he emulated them because they were blonde-haired little kids, and he was a blonde-haired little kid, and then somehow I just kept watching when he wasn't there. So I don't, it's like I don't know what happened,
I'm
but
sure I'd
that's.
probably enjoy it if I watched it. I just haven't seen it, that's all.
We're not really the target audience, but yeah,
No.
I get you, you
But then
know.
I've watched a lot of stuff where I'm not the target audience. So, it doesn't bother me so much.
To talk target audience, you have a massive love for Bollywood, and I love seeing
Yeah.
when you share that. If anything, I can say over the last many years, you have educated me not only in culture but different music, and it has allowed me to, like, there are times you will post and you know an actress her birthday or have met mention. So I the type of person I need to know more. I'd like to educate myself so I find out who they are, what they have been, what they have done,
Okay, yeah.
and now where you have. Was this something you just always grew up with? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember a time when it wasn't in my life because my parents watched Bollywood movies. They always listened to Bollywood music in the car. I didn't grow up with it called Bollywood because that's a term that came out in the 90s, and termed by an American, I think it was. And it Initially, I don't really like that term very much.
I
It feels like
apologize.
a it's feel no, it's not your fault. It's become a, you know, everyone calls it that now, so it's unavoidable. But it just felt like it was a bit of a spoof kind of term, because basically the Hindi film industry was predominantly in Bombay, as it was known at the time. So they took the H off Hollywood and put B for Bombay, and it became Bollywood, and it the name kind of stuck. But I didn't, I don't, I've never really, I don't, I refer to it as Bollywood now because everyone does. It's just become the
Common
main thing. But
nomenclature.
yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because my parents didn't speak Hindi at home. My parents spoke Punjabi and English, and my first language is English. I never really learned any other language other than in the same way as I've learned English. Like I can only read and write in English. But I was always very interested in the music in Bollywood movies, mainly because they fused genres way before they were it was fusion music was a thing, and they always used like full orchestras and stuff, and I really liked percussion, and they would take percussion from all over the world and fuse it with Indian percussion, and you'd get these really interesting sounds that I never heard anywhere else. So I predominantly, all this music you see here, it's all Bollywood music. I don't listen to anything else.
Wow.
And that's not something a lot of people know about me, apart from my family.
Okay, well that's really cool. I
Yeah.
would normally I'd say, well, I'll ask. I'll say I won't know who they are, but I'll say, do you have a favorite artist?
Yes.
Who would that be?
So it's an interesting thing with Bollywood films. They all have songs, and I'm sure you're aware of that, but the actors and actresses do not sing themselves.
Oh.
There's a whole industry within the industry called playback singing. So these are professional singers that provide the playback for the actors to lip sync to. And so I grew up listening to these voices and watching the actors' faces on screen. And when I went to my first concert ever, I was 12 years old, my parents took me, and it was for an artist called Asha Bhosle. So I don't know if you've heard that song, Brimful of Asha.
No.
It was from the 90s. So that song is a kind of about her. So she has sung for three generations of actors. And because she's singing behind the scenes, all these actresses can mime to her voice. I was a big fan of her when I was a kid. She had sung all my parents' favorite songs as well as the ones I was growing up with. And then she sang the songs that my nieces and nephews were growing up with. So my first concert was her, and it was in Wembley Arena. It was a big concert. I had no idea what she looked like back then. I'd only, they didn't get a lot of pictures out there and stuff. We didn't have internet or social media or anything like that. And pop music or artists doing albums just outside of the movies was not a big thing in India back then. So the main music was film music. And so these singers never really got their faces out there, but everyone knew their voices, and everyone knew who she was. And when she walked out on stage, and she was this tiny little Asian, Indian woman with a sari on, and she was singing all these really, hip disco rock kind of songs, I was like amazed. I was like, this woman's voice is amazing, and yet, no one knows her face. In later years, when music channels became a thing in India, when pop music became a thing in India, then she started releasing albums that were outside of films, and so her face became a bit more known. But to someone like me, who didn't grow up in India, who was always, I was born in Africa, and then we came to England, I never saw these singers' faces. I recognized their voices immediately, though. And so
It really.
she's my favorite artist. Yeah, definitely. I've definitely posted about her on Instagram, so you would have seen and heard her voice. Yeah.
It really does show the difference in. I'll use cultural barriers that they have. I'm sure I have gone through every radio station at some point in time, trying to find something, and we do not get that type of music here,
I mean, she has collaborated with people in the West in the past. Like, she did a song with Boy George back in the 90s. And she did one with Michael Stipe from REM, sort of early 2000s. I think that song was actually used, the movie Bulletproof Monk?
I've never seen it, but I know it.
Okay, so in the very end of that movie, for the final scene, there's a song that plays in the background, and that's the one that she did with Michael Stipe. I got quite excited because I saw that movie in the cinema, and I heard her voice. I was like, "Oh my God, you sing her song."
I'll definitely have to check it out, if nothing else, just so I can hear the song. I have a friend of mine that's a huge REM fan, and he might be interested. So,
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an REM album. It was a project that these individuals did. They were trying to team. It was called One Giant Leap, and they were trying to team artists from different parts of the world and put them in the same song. And I saw an interview with them, and they said something quite interesting. It's like the whole thing happened by accident. They were in, I think it was Rajasthan or somewhere like that, not somewhere you would normally run into her. And they were in a restaurant, and they had sort of portable recording equipment with them. And the waiter asked them what they were doing, and so they explained. And the waiter said, "Do you know who that is over there? She's like a legend." And so they just went up, asked her, and she just recorded something on the spot there in like the kind of quiet corner, recorded it, and then they put it together with Michael Stipe's singing, and that's how that song came about. It was
Well,
just
that's awesome.
chance meeting.
Now, how did you hear the story? Is that something that was told in?
Yeah, so the people who did the album were on a we do the BBC here does show does have used to have a lot of Indian programming. So there was a show called Network East or something like that, and they were on this show and they were being interviewed and they told the story on there. And that's when I heard the story. And that's how I came to know about the song as well, because it wasn't film music, so I wouldn't normally cross my paths.
My biggest exposure to BBC is Doctor Who. I'm a huge Whoopi, and I love Doctor Who. I didn't start watching until David Tennant's second season, but then caught up, and then
I watched
even.
Doctor Who when I was a child in Africa.
Well, see,
So
well, you
the
win.
old Tom Baker ones, I watched them. And then I did watch it for quite a while, even when I came to England. And then it went away for a while. And then Russell T. Davis brought it back. He sort of revamped it. And then I did watch those up until the Matt Smith ones. And then I kind of lost track of it. It just kind of went out of my radar.
Matt Smith is probably, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, David Tennant's my doctor. I gotta say, Matt Smith, if I had to choose one, he's my doctor. But it comes down to in 2009, 2010-ish, around in there, they filmed in Utah. They came over and they filmed here in the States. And I was there when they were doing it. And
Is that the episode with Mark Shepherd? Oh,
Yes.
no, it wasn't.
Yeah,
It
no,
is.
yes, yes, it is indeed. Actually, my wife and I were talking about that the other day. His dad popped up in an episode of Star Trek, and I said, oh, that's Mark Shepherd's dad. And she's like, who? And I said, you remember the episode, The Impossible Astronaut? He played his older version of him. It was
Of him.
like, yeah, Mark Shepherd was young, and his dad was the older version. But see, Matt Smith's doctor, okay, first of all, he was in Utah. Same time I was while they're filming it. Spent a lot of time in Utah back then. But he was on an Edsel. Like, he was, and that's my first name. My real government name is Edsel, named after the car. My middle name is Ford. So I got a kick out of that. And then the episode dealt with going to the moon, Armstrong's museum. Well, or Armstrong, not museum, but going to the moon. I live in his hometown. So I was like, there is so much here connected to me. So it became a favorite. I don't tell people that often. Now everyone knows. But anyway, but yeah.
At the conventions, Mark Shepherd has talked about doing the Doctor Who episode, and how he had to be get special permission to be released from Supernatural to go and do the Doctor Who episode, and then get back. And they were like, "You can go, but you don't miss your flight back because we need you for the finale."
Well, I'm
So
glad he
he had to,
did and everything was fine. Okay, I have to comment and compliment you on your shirt. I love the Firefly shirt.
I'm a big fan of Firefly.
I love it. I'm a big Firefly guy, Serenity, everything. You can look on my Facebook post or Facebook whatever profile, and I am a leaf on the wind, watch all I soar. It has been there, what, almost 16 years since I've had Facebook. I've had that same saying. I'm a big fan of Wash, Alan Tudyk, everything he does, but I was a Wash guy.
Well, even on my Facebook, with the when it says favorite quote, mine is "I aim to misbehave."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Let's be bad guys. Yeah, I love Firefly. It's one of those things, like, you could say, oh, I would love one more season. I'm the opposite. I'm
I think
glad.
it's good as it is.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly.
it didn't have time to go bad. It was excellent all the way through, I think.
And I
And
have
I
literally
love the movie.
bought. Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
No, I said I love the movie as well, the
Oh, yeah.
Serenity movie. So
Yeah, we're coming up. Well, this month. This month will be the 20th anniversary.
yeah, I know. It's just insane.
Yeah, and then I even have all the comics. I bought all the comic books, and for the most part, I mean, it's not great all the time, but Jed Whedon wrote them, so
Yeah,
Joss is
I'm
probably.
aware of them. I've never actually read any of them. But speaking of comic books, I have actually been in a comic book. I've been drawn into one.
Same here, but what was yours?
So mine was so the actor in Spartacus who played Agron, I can't remember if you watched Spartacus or.
The thing was, and this is going to be a bummer. I watched the first season of Spartacus, and
Yeah.
then when what's his face passed away, I kind
Andy
of,
Whitfield, yeah.
I never went back. I was like,
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't want.
I would recommend it. It's very the guy who replaced him is very good.
Okay.
But Agron was in the first season. He was one of the he was the guy with the dreadlocks, the one of the
Oh,
brothers.
okay.
So the actor is Dan Feargal, who I think is in yeah, he's in Days of Our Lives now, which we don't get over here, so I can't watch that. But he created a comic called Fractured Shards. And he
Oh,
did it. So
okay.
he did
You,
it
I
with one
remember
of,
this.
yeah, so he did it with one of my friends from Australia. So I met them all at this Spartacus convention in Paris. And this guy from Australia had come there and he was already doing his own comics. And so they kind of teamed up and he got this comic kind of going for him. And I contributed to the Kickstarter. So one of the Kickstarter rewards was to be drawn into the comic. And they did a lot of YouTube live things to, when they were sort of campaigning for the Kickstarter. And you could sort of interact by typing messages in and stuff. And I just said, is there room for a geneticist in the story? And Dan Feargal just went because he'd met me like 5 times by then, like at the convention, so he knew who I was, and he was like, "Yeah, absolutely, Mandy. Because if you can pledge that, we will definitely write you into the story." So then I ended up getting one of you know a panel, which was quite nice, and I actually got dialogue as well. I wasn't just drawn in, so
That's
that was
awesome.
fun. I got a great kick out of that.
I remember when you shared that. It had slipped my
Yeah.
mind, but I do remember when you shared that. That's great. And there's something, as being, lay people as we are, the little guys as it is, it's nice to be somewhat immortalized in, this medium, be it whatever it is, and it's something you love. It's, that would be like if there was ever a supernatural, you should be in Supernatural somewhere if they could put you into a comic, which they are doing comics now.
Are they? Have they
Yeah,
already released or not?
it starts soon. I could look it up. Let me look that up. I've never actually looked at my phone during an episode of this, but well, this is worth it. It popped up.
I haven't heard about that at all.
Yeah, it popped up recently on my I have a thing called Comic Hub where I order mine, and yeah, the first issue must have come out last week, and then yeah, it's only going to
So
be,
it's already out then. Oh, wow.
yeah, it's already out. I don't know. Is Forbidden Planet near you? Do you have a Forbidden Planet shop?
There's one in London, so it's not near me, no.
I didn't know where you were,
Yeah, I live in Oxford, so
Oh, okay.
it's not hard to get to, but like you need to make an effort to do it, like
Worst
yeah.
case scenario, I would go on Forbidden Planet's website and see if you can start an online pull list where they can ship it to
Yeah.
you.
That would be that's probably more plausible, I think, yeah.
But yeah, the artwork looks great. It's from Dynamite Comics, I believe.
Okay. I
But
will look
yeah,
into that. Try and find it, yeah.
if nothing else, I'll send you information later, when we're done here.
That'll be good, yeah.
That way you can see it, because it looks good and it's right up your alley. It's going to take place during like in between seasons, like stuff that we didn't see. So,
Yeah. Okay. That'll be good.
well, you know what, man? I guess I should ask you a little bit about Star Trek, at least, so that I can stay within
Yeah.
that realm.
Yeah.
Do you, obviously you've told me that you don't really have a lot of Star Trek, past, but you said you had seen the original series.
Yeah.
What's
So
your Star Trek story?
basically, yeah, my parents were fans of the original series. They used to watch it in Africa. And I didn't see it until I came to England, and the BBC reran them when I was in school. And so I used to come home from school and watch them. And I love the original series, but I'm not someone, I haven't watched them more than once, maybe, like maybe twice. I remember seeing I saw the first four movies. So the first motion picture, the first Star Trek movie, was quite a big deal for the Indian community because the actress who played Ilia, bald
Persis
lady,
Kambada.
was, yes, Persis Kambada. She's a former Miss India, and I think she'd won either Miss Universe or Miss World or something. So that's how she got into Star Trek. And so it was a kind of a big deal. So we all went to watch it. The Indian community kind of went to watch Star Trek because of her. But I always loved sci-fi. I remember I watched Star Trek in the cinema. It's one of the first films I saw when I came to England, and also Superman, the Christopher Reeve one. And both films kind of blew me away because I'd never seen anything that spectacular on a huge screen like that before. And so I remember them very vividly. But then I did watch the next three Star Trek movies up to the one with the humpback whale
One with the whales.
movie. I love that one. It had a very Back to the Future vibe for me.
Oh,
I
yeah.
did like it. But I didn't see any others, and I never really watched Next Generation or Deep Space Nine or, all the others iterations. I do want to watch Enterprise because I'm a big Quantum Leap fan, and I like Scott Bakula, so I wanted to watch Enterprise, but trying to find them, I think they're all on Paramount here now. So I'll have to see if I can get a subscription to that first.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's worth it, especially if you like the Quantum Leap. It's there's a really good. I'm not gonna spoil it, but there's a really good episode, particularly in the first season that you'll
Yeah.
love.
Yeah. And I did like the J.J. Abrams movies as well because it was the characters that I knew. So I really enjoyed those. I think they all did really well with sort of taking such iconic roles and, revamping them. I think those actors had a very hard act to follow, but they did a really good job, I think.
I think the premise was really solid. I mean, being an alternate universe,
Yeah.
and I like that. I can appreciate that. I like them, but I'm well known for having issues with the first two, especially the second one. But I love Star Trek Beyond. Star Trek Beyond is
Yeah.
my favorite of all those, and I think it felt the most like Star Trek to me.
Yeah, I think Beyond had the most humor in it. It was it, I think I'm very attracted to humor in any project. Like if something has humor, I will keep watching. It's the reason I watched Supernatural for 15 years. I didn't discover Supernatural late. I watched it from the beginning, and the only reason I stuck with it is because the humor was very consistent throughout. Same with Firefly. The humor in Firefly is what, really makes it, stand out for me. I think when things get too serious all the time, I lose interest and I just stop.
You might want to avoid Star Trek Discovery then.
Okay.
It's too serious. It's a good show.
I've
It
actually
is.
watched three seasons of Star Trek Discovery, so
Okay.
I have actually seen it. I did really enjoy seasons one and two, but I've kind of lost interest in it now because it's got a little complicated for me. I have to admit I don't understand a lot of it. I don't know if I need that prior knowledge from all those other shows. to watch Discovery, but I feel like
In
I'm missing some information.
I get you. Well, in some ways I get you, and even with the last episode, Discovery was able to stick the landing. I think they had a really good, solid ending when the show ended. But the thing is, it doesn't make any sense to you if you haven't seen the short trek called Calypso. They had done a there was a time period when Star Trek were doing like quick little 15-minute episodes called short tracks, and they had done one with Aldous Hodge, which you know from Leverage. And Aldous Hodge was in
And
it, and
Supernatural.
in Supernatural, yes.
Yeah.
But he, and this is a bold statement I will go on record.
Yeah.
The Aldous Hodge 15-minute episode called Calypso, in my mind, is the greatest 15 minutes of Star Trek they have ever done in its 60 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's a bold claim.
It's a very bold statement, and but I stand by it. And when they did Calypso, it touched every emotion in my heart. And then they ended the series with the resolution, shall we say, to Calypso, and as almost a way of ending it. And I thought, that's it. That's there's nothing more perfect than that. Because and I love it. I truly do. So if you do stick with it, even if you don't watch any of the other things, find Calypso, watch Calypso, see the end, you're gonna be good. You really will.
All right, I will do that. I have actually watched a little bit of Below Decks, like
Oh,
le
Lower
Lower
Decks.
Decks, Lower Decks. I'm really enjoying that. I think that's really funny. And I started watching that when I met Jack Quaid at a boys' convention. And he was talking about it, and I was like, this sounds quite good. And he's such a funny guy. I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a go. And I'm really enjoying that at the moment, but I'm just on season one.
Yeah, well, it does not disappoint. It increasingly gets better. Mike McMahon is a wonderful showrunner. The writers on that show are great. Jack Quaid is amazing. He honestly, like, he's a main reason that I will definitely check out The Boys. I'm well aware of his character, and the connection with Simon Pegg and stuff that come around. It was too. It was in the zeitgeist. There was no way to ignore it. But yeah, you're in for a good show. I've never seen Rick and Morty ever, and I know a lot of people compare it to Rick and Morty. I'm not a Rick and Morty guy. I've never seen it.
I guess there are similarities. I wouldn't, I didn't, my mind did not naturally go to Rick and Morty when I watched Lower Decks,
Well, I think
but now
Mike
you said it,
McMahon.
I can see the similarities.
I think Mike McMahon was a writer on the show or something,
Oh,
and
was
that's
he? Okay.
why people connected. Like I said, I have no Rick and Morty knowledge whatsoever, but I it had the word Star Trek in it, so I was willing to check it out. I'm going to ask you one last question because otherwise we could be here all day. Star Trek, Supernatural. There is one person I don't know if you've ever met. I've looked through your pictures, and I haven't seen anything. Have you ever met Todd Stashwick?
Yes.
Okay.
Twice.
Twice. Okay.
I have pictures with him. Todd Stashwick. I met Todd Stashwick initially at a Vampire Diaries convention, actually, where and it's all, I remember that convention very quite a lot because it's the first time I ever got up at a panel and asked a question at the mic, because I'm quite a nervous person in a big room like that, so I really plucked up some courage, and I actually asked him about his Supernatural episode, which was which I don't
Great.
think anyone else there was going to be asking him about. And he said something very funny, which I always remember. He goes, I got to see Jensen in Lederhosen in color. You only saw it in black and white. I saw it in color. Which I thought was
Love
very
it.
funny. He's a
I
very
love
funny
it.
guy. He's really good.
Well, the reason why I ask, I didn't know if you ever saw him in Star Trek Picard season 3.
No. No,
If
I
you
have
ever
not
get,
seen Picard yet. I'm going.
be honest with you, if you want to skip season one and two of Picard, you're more than welcome to do it. But
Okay.
season three is required viewing.
Can I
And
go
Todd's.
straight into season three and like without
Hey,
any
you
knowledge?
know, it's up to you, but I'm just saying, like, season one and two are problematic in many ways. They're good in many ways, but three is probably the most perfectly well-written season all around, and Stashwick is a huge part of it. Like, he's always been part of the Star Trek family. He's been a Romulan in the past, but
Yeah.
he's just fabulous in season three.
So he's one of those actors I was telling you about that's only been in one episode of Supernatural, but I met him at a Supernatural convention as well.
There you go.
I had one thing to say about Next Generation, actually. I have seen the pilot episode, but I think, I don't know if it was the first two episodes, but before it came on TV here, it was released on video as like a movie, like a TV movie. And I remember renting it and watching it, and so I saw the first episode. And I think who's the character? Is the character Q? Is
Yes,
there a?
John
Yeah,
Delancey.
and the first time we see him, there's this music that plays in the background, and I remember this very clearly because I had watched V so many times. The music that played in the background was the same music used in V when Diana married Charles.
Yeah.
And it was the wedding march from their wedding. And
There's
I remember
another V
thinking, oh my
connection.
God.
There's another V connection throughout the first season of TNG. Do you remember on the mothership when they had the octagon storage containers on the Enterprise? They, like, every time there's a storage container or a shuttle bay or whatever, they're stacked up on this wall on the Enterprise too. Same ones. To a T. And I remember thinking, oh, how did they get those? Because as a kid, I'm thinking, are they connected somehow? Not thinking about, reuses of props, but yeah, good call. Good musical. Musical cue.
Because I'd watched V so many times that it was all in my head. I
The
also there's
did
a connection with V and Supernatural because Robert Singer, the producer on V and producer on Supernatural, so
Yeah. There's a lot
and
of good
like
connections. Like,
Bobby is named after him. He's Bobby
yeah, oh,
Singer.
yeah.
He's Robert
I was
Singer's
about to
friend.
say, you bring up Robert Singer, and then yesterday we've been watching Dexter from the beginning, and we hit an episode that had Jim Beaver in it. Now, Jim Beaver has been, when you watch Enterprise, Jim Beaver's on Enterprise.
Oh, is
So,
he?
yes, he is. He's an admiral. But when I saw him, I was like, oh, look, it's Bobby. That's all I think, it's like
It's
it's
funny.
Bob.
He's on The Boys as well, and his character is Robert Singer there as well. It's Bobby Singer still. It's the same character. It's
I
well,
love it.
same name. Same name.
Now, has he survived long enough to be with like next season? Because like I know there's the talk about having Misha on and doing a
No, do I want to give a spoiler?
That's fine. Don't. That's
He
fine.
was definitely on it when Jensen was on it,
Okay.
so we'll say that. We'll say that.
All right. Spoiler alert.
And
Well, hey.
we've had a
No,
lot of
go.
Supernatural people on The Boys now. It's great.
Well, yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, you think about who runs the show. Mandeep, I gotta tell you, this has been a gem. You are an absolute legend, and I appreciate you being on here and sitting down with me. Talking with me.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh yeah, you're very welcome. I will definitely, send you the information about the comic book, like I said, and that way you can check it out. Hopefully you get it, your hands on it. I know that sometimes getting comics over there are even difficult, like
It's pretty di I'm not aware of where I can get them, so but I'm sure I can research and find out. I have friends
I
who do get comics, so I'm
okay,
sure.
I was gonna say I had to do some research on getting comics in the UK the other day for another individual. So I already know how to access I have a VPN so I can make it look like I'm in the UK and get on there and check it out. So yeah, I'll see what I can, send you the link. So,
Okay.
but yeah, appreciate your time, man. You have like, just an amazing story that I'm so glad to hear, and I appreciate that. So, and I
Thank you.
appreciate your time.
Yeah, it was very nice to talk to you again. Thank you.
You as well. Stick with me for a minute until
Okay.
after this.